Going to talk about time today. Actually, two types of time, two specific words in the Bible that are both translated often as time, and yet they're very different things in a way, although of course they overlap and go together. But one of the types of time is what we're used to thinking when we think of time and hear about time. Easy to explain for the most part. The other one is really what put me in kind of a spin this week, and still spinning today. So we'll get to that. But to begin, I'd like to share with you about a timeless time at a prayer cabin in northwestern Wisconsin. It was June of 1993. I had graduated from college the previous month. And I went, and I don't remember now if it was two or three nights and days at this prayer cabin, but it was at least two. And I went there with two things on my mind and heart to spend time with God and just thinking and praying and reflecting on. And one of those was I had just graduated from college. I was already planning to attend seminary that same fall in 1993. And so just spending time with the Lord about this sensed call and direction on my life and what that would mean going to seminary and beyond. And the other thing was I had brought with me to the prayer cabin a diamond ring. Yes. And I spent time with God thinking about future life, you know, going this way without who I had in mind to give this ring to, and going this way, giving this ring, and with the response of yes, or I will, and I was like, wow, this is so much better, Lord, going this way, and if this is of you and your will, then I was already, obviously, I purchased the ring, so it wasn't just buying it on a whim, but spending time thinking about that, because from that prayer cabin, then I was going to go to Eau Claire, where Betsy was living at the time, and carry on with that plan. Well, as soon as I got to the prayer cabin, one of the first things I did, by the way, it literally is called a prayer cabin. It was built, it's at the Wilderness Fellowship near Frederick, Wisconsin, Christians building with the intent that people come there to spend time with the Lord in a focused, quiet space and time in the woods. And it's very effective. It's a good place to go. When I got there, I took my watch off almost immediately, and put it in my duffel bag, hidden under everything else. This isn't a rustic cabin. It's very nice. There wasn't a bathroom in it, but nicely furnished otherwise. And there was a microwave oven. And, of course, a microwave oven always has the digital display of time. Well, I wanted to use the oven. I didn't want to just unplug it. So I took a piece of cardboard and a piece of tape and put it over that display. I intentionally did not want to be aware of the passing of time, as we often usually are. But what I found was, avoiding the passing of time, as it were, I was more keenly aware, almost than any other time in my life, of the passage of time. Meaning, I got there in the afternoon, and as the light started to fade a bit toward evening, and then sunset, and then even between sunset and darkness, and I was more aware of the sounds of certain bugs at certain times of the day, particularly the evening dusk, you know, what tends to flock in certain, well, in the woods in Wisconsin, mosquitoes, evening time, but also the sound then the next morning of the first light, or the seeing of the first light, and then the sound of the birds even before that. All these things, I was more aware of that kind of time, but much less, I didn't know what minute or time or hour it was exactly throughout the day. This past Thursday, a few days ago, in the evening, went to Bourbonnais, Illinois, to Olivet Nazarene University for a joint concert band and wind ensemble concert. Kyra plays flute and piccolo in the wind ensemble, and then now it's spring break, so she is here for this week. And the next day, Friday, when she came home, I mentioning about the concert, and I said my favorite piece is a song called Hymn to a Blue Hour. Hymn, as we were just singing hymns, but Hymn to a Blue Hour, all instrumental. And I read the program notes about this song composed by John Mackey. And it's about the blue hour described as after sunset, that time from sunset, but then the lingering, fading twilight until complete darkness. Whether that's an hour again or not, it's that time. And the song was very effective, meaning I found myself, closed my eyes during much of it, listening and imagining and seeing that fading twilight. And it brought me back, honestly, to the prayer cabin. And just being aware, as I'm usually not, about this fading light and that kind of time. Well, I find out from Kyra regarding time, if you're a musician, the time signature or signatures, I don't know this stuff as much as she and others here do, but almost she showed me. And there were times where one measure would be, 2-4? And the very next measure, 3-4? And then the next measure, 4-4? And the next measure, 9-4? It had 7-4? I don't know all these. But every measure for a while was like changing. It's like, how do you even direct and play? But again, it was because the time wasn't so significant as this fluid sense of time, if you will. So then on the drive home, Thursday evening, I was listening in the van to a song by Seal. I don't know if people are familiar with this R&B singer. His name is like the animal, S-E-A-L. And the song is called A Prayer for the Dying. I'd heard this song many, many times before. And as I'm listening, one line, and I'm thinking about time this whole week, and one line in the song jumped out at me, and that is, but time is the space between me and you. And I had never really thought about this line before from Seal in this song, but time is the space between me and you. And so, of course, this took me to 1999, when I was setting sail with the USS Constellation Aircraft Carrier Battle Group as a Navy chaplain in my first year in the Navy for a 6-month deployment, ultimately to the Persian Gulf and back. But what came to mind, time is the space between me and you. Betsy and I had been married now at that point, coming up on 6 years, and had no children yet. But I was keenly aware of the time of this whole deployment. Now, I know off and on I was aware of the miles, in this case, nautical miles from San Diego to wherever we were at the certain points along the way and back, but that didn't really matter to me so much as the time space. And between me and you, being Betsy in this case, because looking forward to that day 6 months after June, whatever it was, to again see that time is less familiar now, but to the time, to when we return. And I remember the day coming back into San Diego Bay and into the harbor and toward the pier and seeing thousands of people on the pier and looking for a certain individual there after 6 months away. Well, time is the space between me and you. And then I was thinking about that regarding God. God created time. Time isn't just some independent thing. God created it, and God actually controls it and sustains it. Again, it seems like, well, time is just time. It wouldn't be there without God having made it and sustaining it. And God impresses time. God's impressions on time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we come to today. And in my Bible, it says, ahead of this chapter, and it says, a time for everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Two different words in this text that are used for time. And looking into the Hebrew, verse 1, there is a time for everything. The Hebrew word for that time is zeman. Now it corresponds almost exactly, well it does exactly actually, with the Greek word chronos. Chronos, which is more familiar to us. Today is March 5th in the year of our Lord, 2023, and about 9:43 a.m. and counting, right? That is chronos, that is zeman, that is a date, calendar, clock, time stamp, and it is measurable. It is linear history. This is what we most often probably think of when we say, what is the time? We're thinking literally chronos. We use this word chronos from the Greek in a number of English words. To give you two, one is chronograph, chrono from chronos, time, graph from the Greek meaning to write. But a chronograph is an instrument that records or keeps track of time. In other words, a stopwatch. Start it, stop it, you've just measured a certain amount of chronos, a certain amount of time. There's another word, I like this one, anachronism. So chron, right in the middle, chronos. Ana in Greek is against, chronos, time. What is an anachronism? I think of it often referring to movies. So if a movie watching it's set in the period of the early 1900s, but they've taken something that you know is from the later 1900s and put it into the movie accidentally, usually, and you're like, well, wait, that wasn't even around in that time. I'll give you another example, more clear perhaps. On the internet, I saw this, and it was a quote, a meme, and it says, everything on the internet is true. Already it's good, right? And this quote is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. Okay, I like that. There are some fun ones like that. but again, Abraham, yeah. So anachronism doesn't work because different time periods. Well, the next Hebrew word, and I apologize for not putting the actual Hebrew and Greek characters in the bulletin, just for space in there. But the phonetic sounding in English of it is in there. So the second one is eighth, A-Y-T-H, not the number eight with a T-H, but the Hebrew word is eighth. And it's, this is the one that I'm still swimming in, okay? It corresponds directly with the Greek word kairos. I'm guessing some people have heard this word before, the Greek one, kairos. And it is also in verse 1 here, where it says, a season for every activity under the heavens. And it's the word season, the Hebrew word behind that is eighth, or in Greek, kairos. Now, I'm going to use the word kairos more than eighth as we go on thinking about this. So there is the one appointed time, chronos, and then we have a season. And that's a good translation, obviously, and yet again, it's not merely or only a season. There's so much more to this word. It's like the ebb and flow of life as we experience it within created time. Within chronos, there is a certain tension in kairos. It's not simple objective chronology. There's a sensation, there's a connection, this tension between us as aware creatures in time. Now, here's what's interesting, and here's what really got me spinning. The rest of the text that I read, verses 2 through 8, there are 28 more times, beginning with a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to root. It goes on. Every single one of these, I would have thought, and I'm guessing a lot of people read this with chronos in mind. There's a time in your life for this and this. And with to be born and to die, it makes sense. We can actually, when a baby is born, they check the time and mark it down. When a person dies, They check the time and the date, and they mark it down. And on the gravestone, those two dates are what we see, chronos. Well, here's the thing. Every one of these 28 verse, in verses 2 through 8 are eighth in Hebrew, or kairos in Greek. So if we were to be consistent in our translating from verse 1, where kairos is season, it would be a season to be born and a season to die. And again, some of them make sense, a season to plant, a season to uproot, but a season, all of them. And here's where it's not merely a season as we think of a season. There's more to it again than that. Verse 1, again, there is a time. Here we have chronos again, for everything. This is, again, in these 8 verses, verses 1 through 8, that is the only chronos in there, this time. Now, when did chronos, when did measurable time begin? And it is measurable. It did have a starting point. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, there was no atomic clock yet. But then we read in Genesis 1 about creation. And creation begins with separation. When God says, let there be light, it goes on to say God separated the light from the darkness. And then God separates the waters above from the waters below. And then God separates on this planet the dry land from the waters. And then God puts in place the spheres of the sun and the moon, and then the inhabitants, the creatures in the waters above, the birds, and in the waters below, the fishes, and then on the dry land, the beasts of the field and human beings. Mm-hmm. And so begin the days, the years, the cyclical seasons, the zaman, the chronos of time. On day 6, God makes. And here it doesn't say, and God said, let there be, but it says, God made. Let us make in our own image a special creature, a being like us. Yes, it's plural, the Trinity, like God himself. Someone, this is you and me, who will experience and be aware. In fact, many of us, given the time, certain times we are very aware of time. We can't get away from it. And so already there's this certain tension. We have our Creator who is outside of time. And then he made creatures, us, human beings, like himself within time to be in relationship with him. Outside of time, within ticking of chronos time, and we have this kairos, which is kind of this tension between the two. And this awareness. Now, in Genesis 1, this tension is good tension. It's perfect. At the end of creation, when God looked at all that he had made, he says, he looks at it and says, it is very good, including Adam and Eve and humanity. Everything is good. We might call that a perfect kairos between God and humankind. And that at that prayer cabin, There were moments there when it was, again, timeless. I wasn't aware of time, but my time with the Lord was focused. There was this kairos that brought in the timelessness of it to that time. Well, then we get to Genesis chapter 3, and sin enters the picture. It's the fall of humankind. Adam and Eve both disobey God, do not believe his word, instead believe another creature, Satan, in the form of a serpent who deceives them. They eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was the one tree God said, do not eat that fruit. And when they did that, kairos soured. And time itself, even chronos in its way, got twisted. Out of whack from that perfect relationship in kairos to begin with. Now, chronologically, when did that happen? When did Adam and Eve eat that fruit? Going back, there was a day, a date, if you will, and a time that it occurred. Well, if you're like me, our memories start to get a little dim. I'm trying to think back. When did that happen again? Go back 400 years. It's when the King James Bible was written and produced. Go back 500 years. We have Martin Luther in Germany, the start of the Reformation. Let's just go back 2,000 years, the day of the apostles, the day when Jesus Christ, Son of God, lived as one of us on this planet. Go back 3,000 years, the time generally of King David. Go back 3,500 years. You're with me, right? The time roughly of Moses and the Exodus. Let's go back 4,000 years. 2,000 BC, when Abram was called by God out of his pagan background to follow the Lord and on. And here's where I know we go back to Noah and then we go back to Adam and Eve. I don't know. I lose track. But that's chronology. We'd like to know, right? Someday we can, if we remember. Lord, when was the exact date and time that occurred? But here's the thing. Chirologically, I think I'm making this word up. Chronologically, solid word. Chirologically, I'm talking kairos, this sense of time. When did the fall happen? When did Adam and Eve sin? This I know all too well. When is the season, the kairos of sin? You know it also. It's why when Brother Scott was up here earlier, and every week, and hopefully on your own each day, we spend time in confession. When's the season of sin, the kairos of sin? It is now. Chronologically, time is the space between us and Adam and Eve. It seems so long ago. Chirologically, it is today. We are connected. When they sinned, we sinned. Sin. It infected the whole human race and continues on to today. The canvas of time, of Chronos, was wrinkled. And it's not a two-dimensional canvas, obviously. It's three or even four or more dimensions because God is involved. The Apostle Paul writes about creation groaning ever since that sin entered creation. Starting at verse 19 in Romans chapter 8. Just listen to this. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Verse 22, Romans 8, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Here, the Greek word behind the word time is not chronos or kairos. It's not actually a word for time, literally. It's the word noon. We'd write N-U-N, which means now. It is a time word, but it's not a word for time. And it just means up to the present time, meaning, and whenever we read that, it's true. Creation continues to groan now for our full redemption. The children of God and all of creation. Now, I don't know if Charles Dickens had Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8 in mind. But in thinking of time, this came to me. It's in the bulletin. The beginning of A Tale of Two Cities. And it actually is one sentence. It looks like a paragraph. It's that long. It's there. It's one sentence. I paraphrased it for today. But this is where it comes from. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. It is the age of wisdom. It is the age of foolishness. It is the epoch of belief. It is the epoch of incredulity. It is the season of light. It is the season of darkness. It is the spring of hope. It is the winter of despair. We have everything before us. We have nothing before us. We are all going direct to heaven. We are all going direct the other way. In short, this period is so far like all the periods that have come before, since the noisy authority of the devil insisted on being received. For the supposed knowledge of good and evil, to reach the superlative degree of God. Sin twisted time. Sin into Kairos ruined our relationship with our Creator, God. God sent His own Son from outside of time into our time as one of us. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one mediator between God and humankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Jesus embodied the twistedness of Kairos and that tension that got sour. And He died in it. And when Jesus died on the cross, He untwisted it. The tension remains. The world is still full of sin. We still struggle with sin and need to confess our sin. But Jesus untwisted that total twist that Satan put in and conquered sin for us in our place on the cross to bring us back into this right Kairos experience with our Creator. At the close of time, as creation groans, even now as we groan as God's children, for all things to be put right, at the close of time, at the end of the age, when the canvas of Kronos is rolled back up, perfect Kairos will be restored for every believer in Jesus Christ. And it will be, once again, in God's own words, very good. A timeless time, an everlasting season of love and joy and peace. And from that list in Ecclesiastes, you can take out the death and the sorrow and the mourning and the rest and keep all the life and the love and the peace forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of time. Thank you for loving us despite our sin and loving us so much that because of our sin and the twist and the ruin of time and our relationship with you, that you sent your Son to untwist it all, to restore peace between you and a sinful people, to be your children in your family, one day to be with you outside of beyond time and forever in your kingdom. Lord, we pray that those who are still lost, that those who are still caught in the twist and the unhealthy tension under your wrath, God, that they would come to know Jesus Christ, that they would repent and believe and receive the gift of grace and love and forgiveness and being part of your family. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.